If you had 30 seconds to ask someone to bring you anything from the motherland, what would it be? What would you ask them? I posted this question on Threads a couple days ago, and it was just because for me, the only thing that could come to mind was ubuyi or porridge. My mom was traveling from Burundi, and the things that I made her bring me, you guys, oh my God. Anyways, thank you, Mom. What's up, D-Squad? Happy Friday or happy whatever day it is when you're listening to this. I am Duchessira Duhaye, and this is the Discovered Oasis podcast. I know some of you went back to the motherland for the holidays, and by now you would have returned in the Western world somewhere, which if you are in the Northern Hemisphere, then it's wintertime and you got those vacation blues so bad. The only thing that I can hope is that you feel better soon and get back in the groove. For those listening from the continent that we all call home, first of all, thank you. I gotta say that. Thank you. I often get messages from the D-Squad in the diaspora, and even recently one was to thank me for one of the episodes because he helped the person get ready for her trip back home, and I love it. But when I get it from someone, a listener from Africa, oh, it's always a little more special. Thank you for tuning in even today. In today's episode, I sit down with Fima Nwinagana, a Burundian, Greek, and Canadian writer and author. I can't remember when I first came across his writings, but I want to say maybe it was sometime in 2018 when he had started, I believe, sharing his thoughts on his blog. Today he lives in Burundi, where he decided to relocate about 2 years ago. And in our conversation, we talk about belonging, cultural adjustments, being different. But I first wanted to know what it was like for him growing up in Burundi in the 80s while being a mixed kid. So without further ado, let's jump in. My first question is the meaning behind your name. Freeman is pretty self-explanatory, but Binagana, what does he mean?
Binagana comes from the verb kunaga. Kunaga, okay. Which means to throw somebody down, like in judo. It symbolizes strength. And my name, Freeman, well, Freeman is, before I was born, my dad was in the States. And yeah. Then he heard the name Freeman. He loved it. And he gave it to me. I was going to be called Theodore. My mom being Greek, the Greek tradition, the boy gets the first name of the grandfather. So my mom's dad, his name was Theodore, rest in peace, which means gift from God, God's gift or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, if he was in Buja, Théo, salut, ça va, ouais, c'est cool, ça roule. And if he was, and when I moved to Canada, I would have been Theo. But yeah, my dad lobbied hard for Freeman, and my mom, being so deeply in love with him, she accepted.
Theodore, did you get the chance to meet him?
I grew up with him. Every summer, since we got to Burundi in 88, every summer we would go to Greece. I grew up with him and my grandma and on a farm in Greece, in a very secluded spot in Greece, in the mountains. Even though everybody thinks that all Greeks come from Mykonos or Santorini, I don't get it. It's social media's fault. Only 2%, not even 2% of Greeks come from the islands, by the way.
Oh.
And my mom is from the northwest part of the country near the Albanian border.
You were born in Greece, moved yes. to Burundi when you were 6 years
six.
Old. I want to talk about what it was like for you to be a mixed kid in Burundi, but also in Greece, before you moved.
In Greece, it wasn't, again, I was too young. And yeah. I never had a problem with xenophobia or racism in Greece. No, it was pretty cool because I went to school like every other kid. Yes, I looked different. But I always say, Yoko, the one thing that brings people together is speaking their language. The first language I ever spoke was Greek. I had to learn Kirundi. So I had to learn it from scratch. So I spoke Greek, and when you speak Greek, you go around. Nobody, like, at some point, nobody notices your color. You know what I mean? Though that you're different. So I really didn't notice that I was different when I was in Greece, because I was a bit young too. I started noticing it here. Well, I didn't notice it. People would tell me.
Okay, at 6 years old, 7 years old, you don't speak Kirundi. Abantu bakubwira gute?
Muzungu, yapfuvye, ipapaya uriye ku giti. What was the other one? But those, I want to say, those were not, they were more like the exceptions than the norm. Most kids are like curious. They were curious to see you, because they see somebody who doesn't look like them at all. And they were curious to talk to me, to learn about me. Since we didn't speak Ikirundi, my dad is the real MVP here. We got here in April of 88. So there was still a Greek school. There were enough Greeks here that the Greek state would send teachers here. So he put us there. My brother, deuxième primaire. So in September of 88, I started primaire, and my brother went to troisième primaire.
Right.
Okay. We don't speak one word of Kirundi, right? I feel like he airdropped us there. You know what I mean? It's like, what do I do now? The first day, I remember I got out of the classroom and I stood next to the door against the wall, because I didn't know anybody. I wanted to play, but I couldn't play with other kids because I couldn't communicate with them. And then my cousin, like, who's like, they're our dads are brothers. My cousin, he saw me because I knew him, and he came here and he stood next to me. We couldn't talk, but he stood next to me. And his sister, his big sister, went and stood next to my brother. So there was some sort of security, because I know somebody, he knows me, but this, you know, this physical closeness, I feel secure. And then my dad couldn't come pick us up because he was working, and he sent my uncle, so le papa and found us crying. We were crying, you know, because we didn't know what to do. We were crying.
Of course. And you're young. Yeah,
but exactly. But then kids, being sponges, we absorb. We absorb everything. Within 2 months, it was done. Kirundi.
Within two months. Okay, but your two dad months. Was speaking to you Kirundi home, right?
At home, to this day, we speak Greek. It was the only way to preserve the language. All four of us, the only language we... My mom learned Kirundi within the year, but the only language we were all comfortable in was Greek. And to this day, I'm about to turn 42. My dad speaks to me in Greek. It's a
no
habit.
No way.
We have.
Right. Yeah, was there a huge community of Greeks?
Before the war in 93... There were a lot of them. I told you, there was a school.
Right.
But then 93 hit, and then most of them left.
Where did you used to feel like you belonged the most?
At home. And then Muri Quartier, with my friends here. This is the thing. The friends that I grew up with, who I'm still close with, if you tell them, because it has happened a few times, if you tell them, go, they don't know who you're talking about. To them, I'm just Freeman. So the more you see somebody, the more that difference, even though it's a visible difference, it disappears. So as I told you before, people would tell me that I'm different. And when you're a kid, you want to belong. You want to be part of the community. You don't want to be different. Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part, because you know you're different. Every now and then they remind you were different, and you want to do something to show them that you're not different. It's one of the reasons my Kirundi is impeccable.
What are some assumptions about mixed race people that you've heard in Burundi?
You're mixed, so you got money. Colonizer mentality. It's not their fault. It's how they see it. I get so many girls that I have to turn them down. I never understood that. There is this assumption, you call everything comes easy to me. The other assumption is Kirundi mvuga. I went to administration office not long ago, a few weeks ago. And I was waiting for a paper. And then this lady comes in like, umutunga shakiki. and then I just laughed.
What was it like being mixed race in Canada?
This is the thing. To Burundians, I am extremely white. To white, I'm black. So they treated me as a minority, if you want. But then again, even in Canada, I never had really problems because of how I look. Because I thought there were so many people that look how I look. or approximately, or they're different. So there was not that big of a deal.
How easy or how hard was it for you to find your community?
It was mostly Burundian community because I was there with my brother and my cousins and my childhood friends. We all got there almost at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I also would chill out with Greek people.
So you didn't really care that you were a mixed kid or a mixed adult?
You care when mm-hmm. you're young, but as you grow, it stops bothering you at some point. But then again, that's my experience, right? You could talk to another mixed guy or girl, they could tell you a whole different story.
The reason why it was important for me to go back to when you first moved to Burundi and how you grew up is because I feel like the things that you experienced when you were younger in Burundi might have changed now that you moved back. You're going back in Burundi as an adult. You left as a teenager. What have been the biggest shocks, the biggest challenges for you since you moved back 2 years ago?
Keeping my mouth shut.
Ooh.
As you've known for a while now, I speak freely. I don't mean to offend. Kirundi itself, the language, there's a lot of double meaning, blah, blah, blah. It's never direct. And I spent the last 22 years in a country where things are pretty direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself speak in a certain way. And that doesn't really fly here. People expect people to speak a certain way, to act a certain way, to be a certain way. So yeah, keeping my mouth shut. The other thing is I try not to share my opinion too much. And the other thing, I'm about to go crazy. People don't respect time. We said 3, you come in at 5. Hey, bro. Maybe I had something to do at 5. You understand what I'm saying? People think it's just fun. But what if I gave you an appointment at this time because later I have something else?
One other question I was going to ask, but I feel like you already answered, which is good, is what parts of yourself did you have to silence to be able to fit in, you know?
Like for the past years, like more than 10 years, I have learned, mm-hmm. while in Canada, I've learned to walk away. I mean, physically walk away from stuff. If something doesn't work for me, or if it's boring or it's bothering me, I literally get up and leave. That's what I do here. But the other thing is, there is a humbling experience about how things are here. Things here work a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As people who come from outside of mm-hmm. Burundi,
Western countries,
most of us have this superiority thing and we want to impose the new rules. And I understand that most people, when they do that, they mean well. They see something that's not working and they want to improve on it. But changing attitudes doesn't take weeks or months.
Do you feel guilty of trying to change things?
Maybe not guilty, but sometimes I think, Yuko, we're not aware of how long change takes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can change a lot of things, but mentality takes a lot. Takes the longest.
How do you make sure that as an adult that you don't lose the values, right? Like I'm thinking about the being late thing, right? Like mm-hmm. you're always on time, but for 2 years you've been trying to get people to meet you on time, right? And maybe that's something for you that is like singenda bihindure about me. I'm always gonna be on time. How do you make sure that you don't lose yourself? And, you know, the being on time is just an example, but maybe there are other things, right? Because at the same time, you can't change them. So where is the middle ground? Like, how do you meet them halfway? So you steal yourself, but also, you know.
What's up? Let's do things on what's up. I'll text you even in the middle of the night. Let's do it in the middle of the night. Who cares? Because meeting is difficult and it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's even more difficult. So I've lived in Montreal all my Canadian life.
Right.
I have my people there, my cousins, my friends who've become family. We're a tight group. And the thing is, when someone is in trouble, or let's say, what we do everything on WhatsApp. Let's do it on WhatsApp. Bam, bam, hey, and within 10 minutes, it's done. They're going to meet, have a drink. We're going to meet again, have a drink. No, tell me where I am. Tell me what I need to do, and I'm going to do that.
Don't you see any benefits in that, though? Do you think it's completely bad?
It's for me. It's not for them. It's for me. Genu konghora.
Right.
And it's fine. We don't have to function the same way.
Yeah.
So that's how I do it.
At some point, I think Yukonanje for me was, it was a huge issue. Mugabo, somehow, je pense que j'ai essayé de relativiser les choses et de me dire Yuko, mine de rien, the way the slow-paced life is kind of what I came to Burundi looking for, you know? It was family, definitely. It was, you know, the weather. But it was also being just tired. And you know how Toronto is. It's like pretty much like Montreal. It's like go, 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 everything, you know? And I was like, I'm tired. And when somebody would not come to meet me on time, I would be like, okay, the first few months it was hard, or maybe even the first year. I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I can get my computer and work on my things while I wait for them. I had to get to a point where I realized that that is actually good for my, even my mental, you know?
But that's how you managed to do it. But for me, for example, my life has radically changed since for almost 9 months now. I got a baby girl. Mm-hmm. She's 8 months old. So I have a schedule to keep, you know?
Right.
I can't do things past a certain time because I have to be with my lady and our children, actually. Then again, the people I meet are people that I usually know. And I know if they're on time or not, so I can... Je peux m'arranger. Yo, let's do things on WhatsApp. It's fine. And then we'll meet at some point to finalize everything. But let's do the groundwork on WhatsApp, and then we'll meet at some point when, you know, when I have time and you have time, and we'll do that.
I appreciate the fact that your story is different from mine, and it's probably different from everybody else's. We always say they have their own way of dealing with it. You know, it's not because Freeman decided to deal with it this way or just dealt with it in a different way that that's the way you got to do it. And I always say that you kind of have to keep your mind open to the fact that it's not going to be, and maybe this is a question I should ask you. It's definitely not what it was like before you left. Burundi changed the way you changed, the way everything changed, right? Was that different? Whatever changed, did you feel it? Was it, you know, and what was it for you? That was like, I thought this was going to be like this, but it changed completely.
Back in the day, people didn't stare that much. Now they stare a lot. And at some point, I feel like I owe money to people because the way they look at me, I'm like, yes. Like, you get it. And you don't look that different from any other Burundian. I look different.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
And people remind me that I look different. Which is somehow 99% of the time it's nothing. There is that 1% when I'm tired, when I have had a long day, and then the dude just like stares at me, and then he actually turns around to look at me and I'm like, "What?"
I had the same conversation with a friend of mine over the podcast. It's because you're on Facebook. You're what? I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not that. Because even before I was, you know, on Friday vibes, Burundi, whatever, people were staring. And I'm pretty sure this has nothing to do with who I am. And I'm so glad that you mentioned it.
Yeah. Again, not everybody has social media. Let's be honest. It's young people. They stare at you because maybe they recognized you. That's true.
Right.
But if it's a 40-something, 50-something-year-old person, where do they know you from?
Do you ever get tired of explaining the reason why you're in Burundi? Do people ask you that? Because I will get that a lot. Like, what's up with you? Where are you from? And I'll be like, no, maybe I'm just here because I want to be.
Oh, people I will get
those a lot. Not just like once. Okay. I even remember 3 people from work sat me down and they were like, today's the day we're going to ask you. Why? What is it? I don't know why, but I just assumed everybody would get that question. So you don't get that a lot?
I don't really get it a lot.
No,
not a lot. Maybe I've gotten the question not enough times to remember it. We're not the same age. And people my age who've been in Canada longer than you have, when they come here, people assume you go, oh, finally, Raja Kuya started off it.
Okay.
You got all the knowledge that you could get. You coming here maybe to start something. So yeah, there is that. And also, again, people assume you come not Burundian, so they don't ask me those questions.
And I think maybe it was also because I was on social media. Mugabo, I don't know, but I will get that question a lot. Okay, you know, what is so hard about life abroad that made you want to come back, you know, or maybe looking for advice because they want to move? I don't know, too many things. But. Yes,
that I get more often. How is life in Canada? How do we get to Canada? What can we do there? What kind of jobs can get? Mm. Schools? Yeah, that you get a lot from the young people who just want to leave because maybe they see you because there is not much to do here in terms of prospects and future.
I wanted for us to talk about the good things now. I want to know, what are the big and the small things that make life in Burundi worth it for you?
Well, the big things is family. I got to be with my dad. I got to see my mom one last time before she passed away. My cousins, people I grew up with, my neighbors that I can actually see and be happy to see them. It's a big thing, the weather. Let's be honest. I love wearing shorts. I'm not going to lie. I don't really miss Kwambara, the winter coat. Although, I have to admit, I miss a bit fall. I love fall. I do when the leaves fall and it's not really cold. It's starting to get a bit... I love that period of time. I do appreciate the fact, Yuko, we have a lot of help here. You know, so people cook for you, clean your room. So that's the great part. And the little things is, if you want to see somebody, you don't have to drive and drive and drive. You can just call them and say, yo, durek widetan, tujana twagi.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Coming home is such an underrated concept because you get to reconnect a little bit with your roots after being outside for so long. I love how Burundians have this innate quality to help each other.
Yeah.
And everybody is trying to help. You know, the family that just lost, you don't have to worry about stuff. We'll do it. People come and see you. Yeah. And there's the beach.
Before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you two last questions. Who is your favorite African artist at the moment?
It's a good question. This is going to be controversial. Not a fan of Afrobeats.
Oh, you're not.
I tolerate it. I'm like, okay, fine. It's a generational thing. I'm a dancehall man, R&B, hip hop, zouk. So I would say, like, I'm going to go generic and say, I love Burna Boy's music. I love Salty. The thing is, now that I'm here, I want to get to know more, like, African writers. I haven't jumped into that pond yet. I want to see what they do. I want to see how they write and what kind of stories they tell. It would be nice. So if you have any suggestions, throw them my way. It would be nice. But I'm going to go with generic. Burna Boy, last, everybody get chop break. You know what I mean?
Specifically that song. love it.
Well, the thing is, if you know the Toni Braxton version, I do, because I'm old enough to know that Toni Braxton, he wasn't man enough. Hey, you appreciate both songs. So.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
Last question. If you could fly to any African country, where would you go and why?
Oh, that's that question I don't like, because there are so many places I want to go. Nashaka kuja Zanzibar. Nashaka kugenda ama plage ya Mozambique. Nashaka kugenda ama plage kura ama plage yo muri Gabon. I want to go to a safari. My parents have been a few times. I want to go to Kilimanjaro. Yo, I want to go to the desert. I want to go see the pyramids. My parents have been, and they told me, it's the most majestic thing you could ever see. Anyway,
do you think you could live in any African country?
It's a good question. Could I live in a country that has more structure than ours? Yes, of course I could. But will I? I don't know. Home is still home.
This has been a pleasure. It's been fun. There is going to be a part two. We might talk about different things, but to have you again.
I'm sure you're going to come up with insightful questions. I have total faith in you.
Thank you.
Because I'm sure, Yuka, as soon as we stop this conversation, you're going to be like, oh, I should have asked that question.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your time. I know it's very late for you. It's 5 p.m. for me, so that means midnight for you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for accepting to have me on your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Primad. I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
That's it for today's conversation. And as you heard, we're going to have him back on the podcast. And I want to know what you think we should talk about next. It can be something that you need us to dive more into, or something completely different from today's conversation. So please let me know. And you already know the drill. Share this podcast if you enjoyed it, or even if you didn't, because someone else might enjoy it. Leave me your comments, because I love reading them. And like I always remind you, no matter where you are, there's always a path to discovering your own oasis. I'll talk to you soon.